Thank God for seeing Chris and Chris. I just feel like that's friendly with Chris and Chris. That's an attorney. It's an attorney firm. But nevertheless, we bless the Lord. We thank God tonight for being in the house of prayer. I can't be very long because I'm supposed to be doing this procedure. I'm going to be a medical guinea pig tomorrow. As I call it. Right? Oh, there you go. Well, what's our thing? Let's know something about the video. What's our thing? Believe in God against all odds. Amen. When it seems like the doors are shut and you don't have a refuge or an answer, we can still believe God. Isn't it great to know that when everything else fails, we can still trust God? Because God never fails. Amen. Scripture says concerning our God that He's faithful. Man may let you down, people may let you down, but God will never let you down. God never fails. Amen. I'm so glad that there's a day and time where it seems like the people you trust the most. You know, there's a time when you had confidence in policemen. Every day you look at the news. The ones that were supposed to be protecting us are the ones that are now victimizing us. But I'm so glad God's not like that. Amen. He's a savior. He's a protector. He's a keeper. Now, not all police, because for the most part, they're good. But you got how many of you got a bad bunch in every group? Just like everybody in church. I miss that. Let's stand while scripture. I just figured I just edge y'all on, but I can't be long because I was supposed to have started something at 5 o'clock, but I couldn't start it because of circumstances. Y'all want to know circumstances? I ain't gonna do it. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God. Thank God for blessing my wife. In spite of her health condition, she is still pressing. Amen. I know she's pressing because I know I don't sleep at night. As long as she got whatever she got, it's a bad what she got. But nevertheless, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And our scripture reading will be verses 1 through 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen? Amen. You all have it? If we don't have it, we know it's where? It's on the screen. Amen. Now, one of the most important things that we should do in coming to church and hearing God's word is the psalmist said that the word of God should find a lodging place in our heart so that we will not sin against God. He said, thy word have I. You notice that the psalmist didn't say, Lord, I want you to hide. He didn't ask God to do it. He said, thy word have. It's a personal responsibility that we should have to place God's word so far down in our heart that not even the devil in hell can pull it out. No trial can rival God's word. Verse 1 reads, this is the third time I'm coming to you. How many times? In the mouth of how many witnesses? Two or three witnesses shall I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, being absent now write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye see a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth. Crucified how? In weakness. But how is he living? By the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. Something about God's power. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Verse 5 says, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Examine who?
Yourself.
In today's society, we can examine everybody that's really good. But he said you need to examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, and then prove yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Who? Yourself. Know ye not your own self. How that Jesus Christ, is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye which is honest, though we be as reprobate, for we can do nothing but what for the truth. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord.
Bless already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I like this part in the latter part of verse 7. He says that, but ye should do that which is honest. Amen. Honest. Honesty is a trait. It's a character trait. It's a characteristic that in many lives are missing today. Amen. Honesty. You know, but we like to be 99% right, but we'll leave out a percentage. If you leave out part of the truth, that is not honest. Amen? So to be honest means you have to give out the whole truth. So Paul talks about being honest in this 7th verse, but what we're going to really focus our attention on tonight is verse 5. Verse 5, and it reads, examine who? Yourselves. Whether ye, not tonight, not your neighbor, not the person going to the church down the street, not your husband, not your wife, not the brothers, not the sisters, not the saints, but examine. See if you are in the faith. He said, then in order for you to see if you're in the faith, you got to go through some tests, some trials, to prove that you're in the faith. Says, know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobated. We'll go over that a little later tonight. So our message that we're going to deal tonight in examining ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. The subject is a false positive spiritual diagnosis. A what? False positive spiritual diagnosis. You know, I like to throw some things that make you think. A false positive. Now, as I was reading on false positives, they said a lot of times when they give women a stress test for their heart, a lot of times women's stress tests come back negative when it should be, come back positive when it should be negative. They can't explain it, but they begin to treat women for heart disease, and then they find out it was a false positive. That there really wasn't anything wrong with the heart, but something within that stress test for women comes out differently. It's even some people are diagnosed with a disease, and they're treated for the longest until they go get a second opinion. And the second doctor said, well, why are they treating you for this? And he said, well, this is what I was diagnosed with. And the second physician would say, that was a false positive. Well, tonight we're dealing with a false positive, but it's from a spiritual perspective. And in this false positive, Paul said, you are to examine yourself. Now, in examining ourselves, one of the worst deceptions, or one of the most difficult deceptions to overcome, is self-deception. So when we examine ourselves, you know, we kind of look all right. Right? When you put it down on paper, I'm doing all right, I'm doing good. When we examine ourselves, and then Paul talks about when we compare ourselves with others, they don't have it all together. So in our own eyes, we look all right. But how many know sometimes even ourselves, we're not honest. So we're dealing tonight with a false positive spiritual diagnosis. Not what we're diagnosing about you, but how do you see yourself? In the book of Revelation, which we won't get to tonight because we have so much to go through and time is limited, one of the things the Lord told them, he said, I counsel thee to buy eye salve, and anoint your eyes that you may see. Because all that you think you are, he said, you're not. So I need you to have some eye salve so that you can, well, what do you want to see? I want you to see that you're living in a false possible. Because you think you're all right. You think you got it all together. Anybody feel like you got it? I got it all together. All right. That's it. I ain't telling nobody anything. Y'all ain't got it all together? All right. Y'all ain't trying to scare me, are y'all? All right, y'all been honest, okay? I'm like, you're like honest. But sometimes we feel as though we got it all together. Go to Revelation chapter 3 for one quick moment. We got to touch up on this for 1 minute. Then we're going to come back to this and examine it ourselves. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3. All right, Revelation chapter 3. And it's really important to understand that the Lord is dealing with the last church, which is the Laodicean church. He characterizes it. Now, the word Laodicean at face value just seems like another church. But when you examine the word Laodicean in the Greek, it means self-rule. All right? If you examine Laodicean in the Greek, it means self-rule. And I do have the notes on it, but I don't think I have time to go through all of it. But the word Laodicean is broken up into two words. Laos and Laos, L-A-O-S, meaning people, and Thite meaning rule or principal decision making. So the Laodicean church, if we were to compare it today, would be a democratic church. Right? Because in a democracy, who rules? The people rule in a democracy. All right? So the Laodicean church was not governed or ruled by God, but it was governed and ruled by the people. So the Lord says concerning the Laodicean church, he makes several distinct distinctions about the Laodicean church. First, they were lukewarm. And the Lord said, if you lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Secondly, they were thinking they were self-sufficient while not knowing that they were miserable and blind. So the Laodicean church had a false positive of their spiritual condition. They thought they were all right, but the Lord said no. And he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. So let's start off in verse 14 of chapter 3 of the book of Revelations concerning a false positive. Are y'all with me still? A spiritual false positive. Because when I examine and look at myself, I think I got it all together. I pray more than so-and-so. I fast so often a day. And I do this and I do that. That sounds like the who? The Pharisees, right? The Pharisees would always pat themselves on the back, but they had a false positive of their spiritual condition. Amen? Because Jesus compares the Pharisee to a poor publican. And the Pharisee spiritually exalted himself, but the publican could not so much as lift his head. But he just folded his head upon his breast and said, Lord, I'm unworthy. But in the eyes of God, the poor publican was more acceptable than the Pharisee, because the Pharisee had an exalted opinion of himself spiritually. So one of the problems in a false diagnosis is when you have a spiritual exalted opinion of yourself. Verse 14 reads, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I. Now, this is what God is guessing. Amen. It's not what you're thinking. This is not what your evaluation is saying. But this is what God is saying. He said, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou were. Well, you know what the Lord was saying? He said, you compromise every time things are me. Right? You won't be hot for God, and you won't be cold. You like to straddle the fence. You like to stay in between so you can have the whole best of both worlds. Everybody with me still? That's a false positive. Because on one side, I'm all God, I'm all holy, and I'm all right. But when things don't go your way, you will easily flip the switch. Amen. So that you don't feel too bad. In other words, I can't be all on fire for God all the time. Every once in a while, I gotta take a knee break. Right? You ever heard of that? A knee break? Well, let me get to this verse. Let's keep going. I know I want to go keep going to the next verse. He says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither, God said, because you won't make a clear-cut distinction about what you're going to do as far as God. Like today, yeah, I believe God. And God's all right. But then when something don't go our way, we flip the switch on God. They say, well, God understands, but I'm just flesh. So if I don't make this stand for God in my self-examination, as I examine myself, if I just get a little weak, God understands. God said, no, I want you to be hot or cold. God said, I don't want you straddling the fence. I don't want you to have a false positive to think that I'm pleased with what you're doing when I'm not pleased. Amen. So he said, I will spew thee out of my mouth because, God said, I can say this. This is what a false positive does. He said, because I'm examining myself to see if I'm in the faith or not. I'm examining my walk with God, and this is what I say. He said, I am rich and increased with good and have need of. That person seemed like they got it all together. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and. That's a false positive. Because you think somebody is rich and don't have need of nothing, he has it all together. But God said, that's your evaluation. In your example, he said, that's how you see yourself. But God said, I don't see you like that. When I look at you, I see you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable, you're wretched, and you are naked. So I can't say you're naked. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So that's a false positive. Because you think spiritually, God is well pleased. But God said, I know thy works. Yeah, when nobody else sees you, God said, I see you. God said, when nobody else hears you, when nobody else knows what's going through the dark crevices of your heart and mind, God said, I. Because I know. So a false positive is on the outside, everything is looking good. But how many know when God examines us? God looks beyond the flesh. And God looks way down deep. Because God wants us to make it so you don't have it together yet. I want you to make it. So verse 5 of chapter 13 says, examine yourself to see whether, are you in the faith? Tonight, that's a question that we all need to address. Am I in the faith? Then he said, after you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, then you need to what? Prove it. Right, so a lot of us can talk it, but how many of us can prove it? He said, don't you know that you got all the help you need because Christ is in you, lest you be. In other words, this word reprobate is the word tis, T-I-S, it means to be disqualified from pleasing God. Reprobate means I'm disqualified. Well, what disqualified me? I'm doing it my way. Self-rule, self-government, and not according to the scripture. Can we say praise the Lord? So once again, the worst type of deception is self-deception. Because in self-deception, we don't see ourselves as God sees us, but in self-deception, we see ourselves as we see ourselves. Amen. Let me read something about a false positive. All right. A false positive is an error in some evaluation, process, or test result in which a condition is mistakenly found to have been detected. So when I'm examining myself, I'm like, I am on my way to heaven and I am so glad. But then when God examines me, God said, I hear what you are saying. But more importantly, he said, I see what you are. So I see what you're doing. So in self-examination, the person that's a false positive, you say, well, why did you do it? You say, because I wanted to do it. Well, why did you say that? Because I do. I ain't talking about y'all. Y'all get quiet over here. I'm about to play my amen tape. Amen. But so, well, why did you do it? Because I wanted to do it. Why did you say it? Because I wanted to say it. And I'm big enough and bad enough to do it, say and do what I want to do. That is Laodicea. That is self-rule. That is a democracy. That is to rule other people. But in church, who's the head of the church? Let's decide. Let's figure out who's head of the church. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let's figure out who is the head of the church. We know the head of the church certainly is not a man. The head of the church certainly is not a woman. But the head of the church should be who?
Christ.
All right, so let's go to 1 Colossians. And I got all mixed up here. I went out of order. I should have stayed. Somebody said, you should have stayed in order. Then you'll be all right. But I got out of order. But I always get out of order. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 22. All right, I just have to. It says, in the body of his flesh, who there to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if he continue, you got to continue how? Well, this is a positive positive. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now you have to continue in the faith. Ground yourself and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I call him a minister, who now rejoiced in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his. For him, who's his body? The who?
The church.
Amen. Let's keep going. Wherefore I am a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill. So how do we know if we are in a positive situation? We do what? Fulfill the word of God. Amen. We submit to God. We don't try to presuppose or put our will over God's will, but we do what? We submit to God. Now let's go to James chapter 1. Amen. James chapter 1. We're talking about getting out of a false positive. So for me to get out of a false positive, I have to do it God's way. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 21. So once again, a false positive, we do what we want to do. And we fail to realize that who's the head of the church?
Christ
is the head of the church. Amen. Actually, I missed one verse there. Let me go back to Colossians chapter 1 for 1 minute. And let's go to verse 17 and 18. I should have read these also in Colossians chapter 1. If the problem with the Laodicean church was they ruled instead of allowing God to rule. Right? So they did not submit to God because it was the rule of the people. That's the Laodicean church. But God said, that church, I'm going to do what? Spew them out of my mouth. Why? Because they will not submit to the counsel or leading of God. But they wanted to do what they wanted to do. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, and he is, we're talking about Jesus. He is before all things. And by him, listen, without Jesus, we wouldn't be here. He is before all, by him all things consist. So now the Laodicean church wanted to have self-rule, self-government. They placed themselves on a pedestal above God. All right, so verse 18 said, and he is the, you know who gives us our marching orders? God. You know who tells us, thou shalt and shalt not? God. Well, the rival to thou shalt not is, I will do. Right? Didn't we hear that somewhere in Isaiah chapter 12, and then Isaiah chapter 14, and then Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 28 or chapter 18. Didn't we hear Lucifer talking about what I will do? God got mad at him. He said, oh, you're about to get out of here. Because you cannot have two gods in one house. You cannot have two heads. You can only have one. So Jesus is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In a false negative, he's not the head. In the false negative, we are the head. In a false negative, we do what we want to do. In a false negative, we don't submit to the counsel of God. Amen? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I can't say a whole lot longer, but with just enough to make you think, well, who's really in charge of our lives? Amen. Who gives us our marching orders? I'm not talking about your husband, your wife, or your best friend. What does God tell you? You know, we live in a day in a society where people that know they are all messed up. I remember when I was just about to go to college, I knew I was all messed up spiritually. I grew up down south going to church. I don't know, when is the last time I was in church once I was in the north? Things, my life was like, things weren't going right. I was praying. I was still reading because that's part of me. And we learned that. So I always prayed, I always read. But then God started dealing with me in somewhere around 17 years old. Yeah, I was about 17. And my life just, it wasn't horrible happening, but it just wasn't going like spiritually. I know it should have gone growing up in church. Though not saved from in church. So I remember on one occasion, all of me and all my friends were together. And I told them, I said, you know what my problem is? They said, what? I said, I need to go to church. They said, oh, you're all right. I said, no, I need to be back in church. Because I was able to examine myself. But people, if you listen to those voices, will persuade you that you're all right when you know you're all messed up. Right? I used to go home. I can't tell y'all everything I used to do, but I used to go home and I would spend nights just praying to God. I would get up in the morning and just go running by the river praying to God because I knew my life was not what it needed to be. But every time I got around my friends, they kept saying, you were all right. But you know the problem with my friend? They weren't going to church. So how you gonna tell me I'm all right? They ain't going to church. You know, so I said, we have so many debates about God, and I would always bring it up, and they would always say, nah, you're a good person, you're all right, you're doing good. I knew what God was telling me in my heart. Now, let me ask you a question. I was only 17, but I still had an ear for God. I wasn't saved, but thank God about 2 years or a year or so later, a year and a half later, I did get saved. But in me, battling or debating with them, I still always had a God sensitivity. I'm wondering, have we lost our God sensitivity tonight? Are we allowing God's Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, or is it all about the big I? Self-rule. Self-rule will take you away from God. Self-rule blinds us spiritually. Self-rule will blind you spiritually. You say, I'm rich. God said, oh, you're poor. You said, I'm working, I'm doing all I can do for God. God said, you're miserable. This is what God is saying. I'm looking at you, and I'm not looking at what you think and other things. He said, I'm looking at the real you. Anybody want God to see the real you? Lord, I don't want to live this life this long, but why not deceive? So can you see the real me? God said, everybody else is looking at the surface view that appears to be all right. God said, I'm looking way down. I'm looking where even science and not to skin color. I'm looking down into your spiritual being, and I see that you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched. How can God see this? Because God is not a man. We see everything on the outward appearance, but God looks down in the heart. Read about yourself in Jeremiah chapter 17. I can't go to all the verses. Read Jeremiah chapter 17. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He said, who can know their own heart? This is what God, he said, but I the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, and I don't go based on the outward appearance. God said, I don't go based on you saying amen. He said, because your amens are false positive. Because in your soul, you really don't believe. Amen means that's true. Amen means God is all in favor of what's going on. So you say amen on the outside. God said, I'm reading you. Y'all gonna talk to me? All right. Let's go somewhere. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Y'all get me nervous. But a mother told me once, not here, a mother told me once, and my wife told me too, she said, Elder Kim, will you please stop telling us to say amen? Will you teach them? We need time to digest it. So I ain't gonna make y'all say amen. Amen. Just digest it. Amen. Oh, y'all say amen. Y'all gonna say amen. Yeah. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says we need to do what? Examine ourselves. You know, tonight, we really examine ourselves. And let me get to these scriptures so we can do what we gotta do. All right, verse 28 reads, but let a man examine himself. All right, so he's dealing with the Lord's Supper. He said, now you examine yourself. When it comes to, this is a spiritual matter, the Lord's Supper. He said, when it comes to spiritual things, you don't need anybody else to examine you. You have to do what? Examine yourself. Then verse 31 reads, for if we were what? You know, it's easy when you're a brother and sister, so they should have done this, they should have done that, they should have done the other. God said, reverse that. Don't worry about examining them. He said, I want you to examine. Then after you examine yourself, I want you to judge yourself. Stop examining and judging everybody else. So you want to tell everybody else what's right, and this ain't for y'all, this is for let's say for the internet, either. This is for YouTube. Look it on YouTube. Facebook. I don't know. We don't put on Facebook either. I just mess with y'all. Y'all gotta laugh and do something. I get scared. Y'all look so serious. I was like, who's been telling them stuff about me? God's been telling us stuff about you. All right. But if you would judge yourself, then you wouldn't have no need to be judged. Right? If I would just look at my own situation, and if I could just make my own self-evaluation and realize I've been living something, but it ain't the truth. I've been living a certain way, but hallelujah. I've had a false positive spiritual diagnosis. But now, anybody want to get back on track? Lord, I just want to be on track. Amen. He said, but when we are judged, we are chastened. So you know how I judge myself and then I get myself back in line? But oh, God, I don't have to do it. Right? Because when, if I'm judging myself and I know I'm messed up, like the other day, I was thinking about something, and it's not important for you to know what it is. And I said, Lord, that goes against my character, something that I permitted. It ain't not about sin or nothing, but y'all gonna go crazy. I'm gonna go running all out, running your minds. I'm talking about just situations. I said, you know what? That's not my character. Why did I even allow myself to get involved in a conversation like that? And it wasn't no garbage conversation. that just a conversation that in my spirit I didn't feel right about. Right? So I would judge myself, even today I would say, I said, Lord, never again. I gotta be on guard. You know, because it was an innocent situation. But as I examined it afterwards, even though it was innocent and it wasn't malicious, if it could be heard on the other end, it could sound malicious. It could sound wrong. So I said, Lord, I have to judge myself, because then there was this one time I should have kept my guard up, but I let it down. And listen, it ain't sin. Please, don't put me as a sinner. It was just an error. It was a fault. All right, because I should have been more on God for it, and I ain't gonna tell you what it is. But I'm just saying, I examined myself, and to somebody else, it probably would be insignificant and mean nothing. But to me, it meant a lot, because it's something that I don't do. But I allowed myself to be dragged into something innocently that I don't do. All right, so when I judge myself, I judge myself at a higher standard of value, because I don't want to judge anybody else before I judge myself. Amen. Okay, we're finished here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. And Lord willing, when we come back from Georgia, if the Lord will, we will go through some of these other scriptures. Amen. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 10. I don't have this. Let me just open my Bible to this one real fast. But we're talking about when we have a false positive spiritual diagnosis. A false positive meaning that we perceive ourselves to be one way, but God sees us another way. In our mind, we're in God's amen's corner, amen corner, but God says, I saw. All right, verse 10, we all have it? Verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter, not 10, hold on, chapter 6, that's it 6? Okay, chapter 6, come on, verse 10. All right, chapter 6, verse 10. All right, do we all have that? Yeah. I was at 10, verse 6. That's what things don't look like. All right. To whom shall I speak? Now, this is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah to who? His people. He said, to whom shall I speak and give? Thank God the Bible says a warning comes before. When we're in error, God sends us a warning. Isn't it great to have such a loving God? Amen. That God won't allow us to go wrong. He will send us a warning. The problem is, what do you do with the warning? Do you heed the warning, or do you continue in what I will do? Or do you heed the warning? Amen. So he sent the warning that they may hear. Behold, they hear is a circumcised, and they God said, I'm speaking, but they will not hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a God forbid if we ever get to a place where God's word becomes a reproach. Well, what made a reproach? They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they would not submit to God. Amen? They don't delight in God's word at all. Therefore, I'm not full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holy men. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others. Let's get down to verse 13. All right, so God is pouring out his wrath, his fury on them, because they would not hear. When they heard, they wouldn't hearken, and they did not, God's word no longer had a place, a treasure place in their heart. And what replaced God's word, or the light of God's word, is they did what they wanted to do. Amen. I like the scripture that trust the Lord with all your heart. Anybody want to trust God with all your heart? He said, well, if you want to trust God with all your heart, then don't lean to your own understanding. So a lot of us want to trust in God, but then we want to do it our way. Hey, he did it one right way, and that's God's way. Trust the Lord all your heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, and he shall. Then the next verse, we don't get that too often, he said, be not wise in yourself, own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, in trusting God, you can't have both worlds. When you're wise in your own eyes, that means that you are taking the preeminence over God. We read earlier, he has the preeminence of all. So when you're wise in your own eyes, then you're no longer fearing God. All right, and you're not submitting to God. But let's go back and finish here. Verse 13 says, from the what? Can we say, least of them? Even unto the greatest of them. Everyone is given to greed. What can I get? I know a lot of people say, get yourself while you can. Yeah, you know what? I just want to be saved. Matter of fact, I was speaking to someone from Bishop Guthrie's church the other day, and they were mentioning our bishop, he's our presiding bishop, and they were mentioning how people are getting called up in the Bible. I said, everywhere I go, I just want one title. She said, what's that? I said, I'm saved. Hey, that's all that counts for me. I don't care if pastor, I don't get called up, people call me pastor or elder or anything else. Matter of fact, when I go down south, my family still called me my nickname, I can tell you all this. Right? They still called me my nickname, oh, I don't know, right? They still called me my nickname. They said, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I said, just, you've been calling me that all my life. You know, I don't even get called up in names. The only thing I care is that I'm saved. Right? You can just put saved on it. But he's living for God, he's doing his best, that's all right. You know, I don't care about all of the titles. And I say, you know what, sometimes somebody say, well, why don't you write down your accomplishments, what you've done? I said, I'm saved. Like, that's what I did. When I went to Bishop's Church, right, Paul? When I went to Bishop's Church, he said, hey, write down some stuff. So when your wife introduced you and all that, I said, well, all I want to do is tell them I'm saved. I've been married for 30, got to count that. No, I know, 36 years. Y'all can see that they got no idea. 36 years, 7 days, yeah. It'll be 37 this year. We didn't get that yet, next week. So we've been married 36 years. Next week it'll be 37. We all want to be here. So I said, I'm saved and married for 36 years. I got 5 kids, and that's enough. He said, that's all? I said, that's all. You know why? Because the most important thing is it should be God. Right? God should be the center of everything. All that shit. For the least of them, to the greatest of them, all right? It said they give it to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealing. That's a false negative. The prophet and the priest are not honest. They're all dealing. He said, listen, it would be bad if it was just a few of them. He said, well, from the least to the greatest, from the prophet to the priest, they are dealing falsely, and they think that I'm gonna back down. Amen. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed? You know, he said, how do you stand against God knowing you have no shame? How do you dishonor God and just take it like it's not? Abomination is something God detests, he hates it. Right? He said, how do you do that? And no, you have no shame. He said, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they dealt falsely. So when they dealt falsely, when they do something, they got so used to messing up and doing it wrong, he said, I don't have no shame. They said, you know, a lot of times when you mess up, you blush. Blush means you kind of like turn like a. Some of us are getting blush and others are going. Some of us blush, nobody know it. Okay, yeah. All right. You don't know what people, right? He said, I know where you mess up. And you don't even have enough gumption to at least hang your head down and say, I sinned. I messed up. Right? You're dealing false because you keep messing up. But you just keep smiling and don't have no shame. That's a false positive. Because when you mess up, they get it right. Amen. I'm going to get one more verse. We're almost finished. He says, at the time that I visit them, they shall be what? This is the Lord speaking. Because they would not honor him. Thus says the Lord, the what? This is, we all know this. Thus says the Lord, the what?
Stay.
What way? God's way. Did he say the ways? What did he say? The what?
Way.
A way should be there, not our way. And it should be called the way of holiness. Not even the this way, the other thing, you can't go with this. You can't go this way if your life is out of tune with God. But sing your way and sing as for me. For the what? Everybody's trying to do something new. Just go back to the old man. Say, what end is love? And you shall find. But the false partner said, what did it say? As we all stand, that's good enough. That's good enough for one night. A false positive refuses to submit to God. A false positive refuses to relinquish their will to God's will. A false positive says, I know what the word says. I know what I'm doing is wrong. But I'm going to still do it anyway because it's what I will do. Isn't it time for us just to stand in the way and see and ask for the old man's way and his good way? And when you find it, Scripture says, then walk therein. It's time for change. Isn't it time for me and I to do what I want to do? But it's time to submit. The Bible says, submit heartily to God, but submit wholeheartedly. Some of the time we can submit to God, but it's just part of our hearts. But when you do it wholeheartedly, you just say, Lord, I empty myself to you. It's no longer about what I want, it's no longer about what I desire, but I'm willing to submit. Anybody tonight willing to submit yourselves to God? Amen. If we submit to God, we are never go wrong. Because when we submit to God, even when we go wrong, that's when God will take the crooked thing and make it straight. It's all about submission tonight. Not submitting to a man, not submitting to a church, not submitting to a pastor, elder, or anybody else. I'm talking about when it's just me and God. I'm talking about when I'm just talking to God and God is talking to me. And I know there's areas that I messed up in. But I don't want to get it right because what I know did lay on the ceiling is self-rule. God said, when you rule self, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's time for submission to God. Does anybody want to turn that false positive into a positive positive? Well, the only way we can do that is by submitting to God. Amen. Yes, y'all want to submit to God.